Okay, good morning. Good morning, thanks for having me. So the question in the title was actually raised by a paper that we published a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, in Nature Climate Change, where we looked at the effect of earthworms on greenhouse gas emissions, and as you might guess from reading the title, it caused quite a lot of discussion. And what we basically did, well, it was a meta-analysis, so we looked at all the published studies on this topic, and we basically looked at the overall effect using a statistical technique. And what we found, this was the main result, was that in the presence of earthworms, N2O emissions from 44 data points in this case were significantly increased with 42%. So if earthworms were present, from all these published studies from different groups. CO2 emissions were increased by 33%, and we could not find a significant increase or decrease on soil organic matter. And please, as you might have guessed, this is the 95% confidence interval, so if it does not cross the zero line, it is a significant effect. Now, this was quite interesting, but we had at least one big open question after publishing this, and that had something to do with the effect of earthworms on plant growth, on primary production. Because we all know, or we think we know, that earthworms are good for the soil and for plant production. Every farmer will tell you so, and every environmentalist will probably tell you so. And actually already people thought so a long time ago. You know, we have quotes from Aristotle. Cleopatra somehow declared them sacred. I don't know exactly how that worked, but that's what she did. And Gilbert White and Charles Darwin very famously wrote his last book on the beneficial effects and the huge effects of earthworms on the soil. So if we know that earthworms increase plant production, primary production, what does that mean for the system we are studying? Because if you have just a plant growing here, no earthworms, but a couple of meters further, there are some earthworms, and yes, the CO2 emissions are there, 33% increased, like it showed from our meta-analysis. But let's say that they also have a beneficial effect on plant growth. The plants grow higher, and it is very likely that litter deposition in these systems will also increase, and maybe that increased primary production might compensate for the increase in the CO2 that the earthworms cause. So how does this number, a 33% increase in CO2, compare to this number, the percent increase in litter deposition? Now, unfortunately, our meta-analysis included very few studies of growing plants, not because we did not want to include them, but because they were not there. We published a couple of papers with growing plants, but very few other groups had. So it was difficult to get a number on that from the data in our first meta-analysis. So we went to the literature, because you know people have been talking about millennia, about how great earthworms are for plant production, so surely there was a number on the average effect of earthworms on plant production. Well, unfortunately, there wasn't. Nobody had ever looked at it as a review. There was no clear number of how earthworms affected primary production. So that's why we did it ourselves. So we made a second meta-analysis, and it was published last year in Scientific Reports, with a title which is a little bit more nice for earthworms, I guess. So these are the main results of that study. Two of them at least, two data points, two effects. So in the presence of earthworms, overall, over all the studies published, so 130 data points in this case, earthworms increased significantly yield with 26%, so over all the published papers. And above ground biomass, which we used as a sort of a proxy for primary production, because that was on the best data we could get, it was also very significantly increased at 24%. So yes, earthworms do increase plant production, and now we have a number which is actually quite impressive. Okay, so we had this second meta-analysis now. So what does that mean for the effect of earthworms on the greenhouse gas balance? You could just, you know, take a very simplistic approach and say, well, earthworms increase primary production with 24%, but they increase CO2 with 33% and N2O even more. So there's an overall negative effect of earthworms on the greenhouse gas balance. Very simple. Well, of course, this is not, well, maybe not of course, but this is not the way we should do it, we think, because those two meta-analyses are composed of very different published papers that are very difficult to compare. Just an example, a couple of examples. Most greenhouse gas studies were done in the lab, whereas almost Well, most studies of earthworms on yield were done in the field. Most greenhouse gas studies were done in temperate or continental conditions, and most effects of earthworms on yield were determined in the subtropics and the tropics, certainly over the last decades. These studies were typically fertilized. These studies were typically not fertilized. Of course, we always had plants here. We almost never had plants here. And very importantly, these studies on greenhouse gas emissions, well, for obvious reasons, I guess, were all for the last 20, 25 years, whereas the oldest of these studies from Rodenstedt in the UK was actually from 1910. And of course, you know, 100 years ago, agriculture was so different in almost every conceivable way than it is today that it's very difficult to compare these data sets. Finally, there have been many more studies on this effect, the effect of earthworms on yield, than on the earthworms' greenhouse gas emissions. So that all made it quite difficult to just say, you know, this is the overall effect of earthworms on the greenhouse gas balance of the soil. So we tried to see if we could still say something about it. We followed a slightly less simplistic approach, but I guess it still has a lot of assumptions, but I'll present it and I'll see what you think of it. We tried to classify some typical, stereotypical maybe, agro-ecosystems along two axes. On the x-axis, nitrogen input, either as fertilizer or as manure, and on the y-axis, residue application rate, so carbon input. And we scored the likely effect based on the data in our two meta-analyses from low to high. First, the yield effect. So what the yield effect of earthworm presence in these systems. And the first, Okay, so what did our meta-analysis say about the effect of nitrogen fertilizer application rate on this earthworm-induced effect? Well, it was quite clear. If you did not fertilize or fertilize very little, there was a very significant effect of earthworms on plant production, but if you started fertilizing, this effect ceased to be significant. So that's already a pretty clear indication that nitrogen is very key to the effect of earthworms on yield. Then we looked a bit further. We split our data up in different plant groups, and we saw also that for grasses and for grain crops, this effect was indeed, of earthworms on yield was very significant, but for legumes, again, it was not. So this, we concluded that nitrogen availability, nitrogen mineralization is probably the main cause of this earthworm-induced yield effect. Now, what about the y-axis, the carbon, the residue application rate? Well, again, we found a pretty clear relation. If you go from no residue applied to a hell of a lot of residue applied, 6 tons per hectare, then you see also that the effect of earthworms on yield, so this is not the effect on yield, but the relative effect of earthworms on yield, really increases. And that also makes a lot of sense, because if the main thing they're doing is mineralization of organic material, then if they have more stuff to mineralize, their effect can be larger. Also, you need these animals need to feed. So if you have more residue, you also have more earthworms. And as we also saw from our meta-analysis, if you have more earthworms, the effect of earthworms also increases. It's not that you just need a few to get it. Okay, so let's go back to our schemes, conceptual scheme. The first agro-ecosystem that we considered was conventional farming systems, maybe in the Netherlands or in the US, high inputs of nitrogen, high inputs of tillage operations, pesticides, everything. Then you typically, well, maybe with residue returned, the classical way, I guess, or residue removed for biofuel production or something like that. Then you end up somewhere here. High nitrogen inputs and intermediate or low residue application rates. Well, if you look then at the effect of yield by earthworms, now, these systems have a lot of nitrogen. I just told you that if that's the case, the effect is small, so we don't think there's any large beneficial effects of earthworms on these systems. Now, the second system we want to consider are tropical subsistence farming, so almost the exact opposite. Pretty infertile soils, low input, maybe no additional nitrogen. There's residue returned or removed for feed or burning or whatever. And we end up somewhere here at very low nitrogen and intermediate or low residue application rate. And actually, it's very likely that the yield effect, we also see that in a study of earthworms there, is large, because we don't apply any nitrogen. The earthworms will mineralize some solid-organic matter or residue, and I think this is also the reason that some of the most vocal earthworm enthusiasts are doing their work in the tropics, because yes, they have a very large effect in these systems. The third system he considered were organic farming systems, again in the Netherlands or in the US, with some input from nitrogen outside, lots of organic matter for mineralization. And you end up probably somewhere here, intermediate nitrogen input rates, but lots of residue input, because that is the driving force behind those systems. The yield effect is probably large, also because there are quite a lot of earthworms and a lot of organic material needs to be mineralized in these systems. So what about the greenhouse gas effect then? So we looked mainly at N2O for this particular graph. First, the tropical subsistence farming systems. Well, these systems are so low in nitrogen availability, all the nitrogen is being used by the plants anyway. It's very unlikely that there are any N2O emissions, significant N2O emissions, let alone that earthworms could increase those. So we don't think that that's particularly worrisome. Actually, also with these systems, we don't think there is much effect of earthworms, because you have so much nitrogen in these systems anyway, emissions are already high, and probably there will not be many earthworms there anyway, because they don't survive very well in these intensively managed systems. Now, the most interesting system in this case is the organic farming systems, because those are systems where you have quite a lot of nitrogen, where earthworms can make a huge difference because they do the mineralization. You have a lot of organic matter, organic carbon to drive N2O emissions, denitrification. Also, you might have some more anoxic spots due to residue in the soil, etc. So we think those are the most worrisome or interesting, just how you look at it, systems for this trade-off between the two effects. So the conclusions, although it's not my final slide yet, earthworms increase crop yield with 26% and biomass production with 24%. The main pathway for that seems to be indeed nitrogen mineralization, not very surprising, I think, but still nice to have the data to back it up. And they increase greenhouse gas emissions at a larger percentage. So the overall effect still seems to be detrimental, but it's very difficult to compare these systems. And if you ask me what we should be looking at, what we should be studying in the coming years, should we study conventional farming systems with respect to this role of earthworms? I don't think so. There are not many earthworms there anyway, and their impact is negligible. Should we focus on these tropical subsistence farming systems that have been studied a lot for earthworms? I don't think so. The yield effect is large. We know that they are good, and it's very unlikely that they will have a large greenhouse gas effect. Although, of course, residue management in these systems is crucial anyway, not only, just forget about the earthworms, what you do in these systems with residue is crucial for everything. Organic farming systems, yes, I think we should study those, because the yield effect of earthworms is large, you need them there, but also the potential for greenhouse gas emissions due to earthworms is also large. Unfortunately, no studies there yet to back that up. I think we should start some. So to come back to the question in my title, does the effect differ between systems? Yes, I think it very well does. And as a sort of a final remark, earthworms are very good to a lot of things in soil in many aspects, but we should stop thinking that they are good in every conceivable way in every conceivable system. And they cannot solve climate change for us. We will have to do that ourselves. So I would like to thank some people for providing the data, additional data for the meta-analysis. And I also would like you to urge to see this very nice presentation by a PhD student of mine, Mart, who looks at the effect of earthworms on phosphorus. The organizers of the convention Save the Best for Last. It's Wednesday afternoon at 2:15, so please attend if you're interested. Thank you.
We have a couple of minutes for questions.
Rod? Yeah. Okay, yeah, so the question is if we did some greenhouse gas intensity or yield scale emissions or whatever. No, we did. Well, there were a couple of studies that did publish both yield data and greenhouse gas data, but there were very few. We have a paper, a figure on that in our first paper. The data was too small we're actually doing some experiments ourselves to look at the effect of earthworms on yield scale emissions or greenhouse gas intensity. Yes.
So
Well, one of my first slides I showed was the first meta-analysis, and I know that people have been claiming that earthworms somehow stabilize carbon in the soil. We looked at all the data where they looked at the overall carbon stock, not you know, a particular microaggregate or something, because in the end, if you want to have a good number about sequestration, you need to talk about all the carbon in the soil. And the effect was slightly negative, but it was not significant. So we concluded that we could not say anything about that. And it's also a bit difficult to imagine how that would combine with increased CO2 emissions. But of course, there's also the increased primary production, etc. But yeah, there's no good data to suggest that earthworms really increase carbon in the soil, I would say.